And welcome to Rod Talk here on M88. As always, I am your host, Yo. Hope you're enjoying your beautiful Sunday evening so far. It's pretty shway outside. Almost wish I could have a convertible studio so I could sit outside while I do Rod Talk. And thanks again to everyone who helped out with the men's rally. That was a really awesome time. It was very cool to see so many guys gathered together seeking God. And you know what? When you got that many men seeking after God's own heart, things are going to change. The state's going to get rocked. So it'll be interesting to see what happens after that event. I think it's going to be a good starting point for a lot of exciting things. Well, tonight on Raw Talk, we're going to discuss something that has been very appropriate in my life of late. It's certainly very appropriate for this station, as M88 is a station that seeks to glorify God while at the same time remain culturally relevant. And so what we're going to discuss tonight is how can we be in the world and not of the world? And I know that can be a difficult topic to get a grasp of sometimes. It can be a slippery slope, as it were. So we're going to examine it from several different angles. And I'd really like to know what you think about it. 505-338-5790. How can we as Christians be in the world and not of the world? What does that mean? What does it look like? I want to know what you think. So give us a call, 505-338-5790. Now, last week on Raw Talk, we talked a lot about tattoos. And, you know, that's just one of those things that can kind of fall into this category of being in the world and not of the world. You know, it's one of those things where some people have very strong opinions for it. Some people have very strong opinions against it. And if you want to hear what we discussed, you know, check out the podcast for last week's Raw Talk. And you can pick that up at M88.org. But there's a lot of things that fall into this category of being in the world and not of the world. And so we really want to examine, well, how can we get down to the root of what this means and how can we maintain ourselves as Christians when it comes to this idea of being in the world and not of the world? Because let's face it, we all live in the world. So how can we not be of the world? I'd love to hear your comments and questions on that. 505-338-5790. That's 505-338-5790. What does it mean to be in the world and not of the world? How do we do that? What are the dangers of being too much in the world? That seems fairly obvious. What are the dangers of being totally not of the world, completely separate from the world? That's something that isn't quite so obvious. So if you have a question or comment, give us a call, 505-338-5790. We talk about being in the world and not of the world tonight on Raw Talk. Now, it was kind of interesting because as I was getting ready for this particular show, this morning when I was at church, I was astounded to hear that that's pretty much what our pastor was going over this morning. It's always cool when God moves like that, you know what I'm saying? And he was talking about a lot of different topics, but one of them was about whether or not the church should be the moral conscience of society. And it was a fascinating teaching that I really enjoyed. But one of the things that he pointed out was a couple of stories in John chapter 2. Now, I don't know if you ever realize this, and this is something that never really dawned on me either, but if you look at John chapter 2, there's that very familiar story of Jesus' very first miracle, where he turned water into wine. And then immediately following that, you have another familiar story of Jesus overturning the tables at the temple and driving people out. And it was funny because I never really put those two together before. I never realized that they happened back to back. It's one of those weird things, you know? You read through the Bible no matter how many times, and you just don't notice some details sometimes. Sometimes it becomes almost too familiar to you. So when he pointed that out, I thought it was pretty fascinating. But so far as being in the world and not of the world, I thought it was really fascinating that as you examine Jesus's first miracle, I mean, here he is hanging out at a party. Some people got married, and, you know, in biblical times, marriage was a pretty big deal. It wasn't any of those shotgun weddings. Do you? And do you? I now pronounce you man and wife. Here's a couple of tokens. Have a good day. You know, they actually made a really big deal out of marriage. It was like a week-long celebration, and a lot of wine was involved. And apparently, in this story, if you look through John chapter 2, apparently the revelers had a lot of wine, because when the master of the banquet came out and said, hey, you know, most people wait until everyone's drunk before they bring out the bad wine, and you bring out the best for last, even though everyone's already had too much. The interesting thing that stood out to both my pastor and myself as I was examining this is that you don't see Jesus really getting upset because everyone was drunk. You don't see him pointing out, oh, shame, shame, pointing his finger. In fact, the other interesting thing is you don't see the people around him very uncomfortable that he's there. And then you have Jesus not only commenting on the fact that some people might have had too much drink at that wedding, he also made more. And not only did he make more, he made even better wine. And again, I'm not trying to impugn one thing or the other, saying that getting drunk is all right. Obviously, Scripture says that's not the case. But the thing that was very interesting was that Jesus was there amongst the revelers, and then you had that whole situation where he even added more wine, several gallons to the whole mix, which was pretty fascinating. So how does that apply to being in the world and not of the world? What can we learn from that as we look at that for us as Christians? Does that mean that we shouldn't go around and point out when people are drunk and say, ooh, that's wrong? Or one of the things I was pointing out is that if you look through Jesus's ministry, he always had an ability to be around when there was a need, and he met that need. And generally through his ministry of meeting people's needs is how he also ministered to people's souls. It was an interesting thing. And then right after that, you have the whole thing in the temple. You're familiar with that. And that was something that a lot of people might consider really good, because the people there at the temple were providing the needs for worship. You know, you go in the temple, you need certain things for sacrifice and so on and so forth. So that didn't necessarily look like a bad thing, looked like a very religious thing. And yet that's the thing that Jesus got really upset about. Those two stories back to back, quite fascinating when it comes to this topic of being in the world and not of the world. And one of the things that struck me about that is sometimes we can be pretty poor judges of what we should call out as being in the world and not of the world. And taking a look at Jesus's life, you know, he rocked the boat when it came to a religious establishment and what was going on in the culture. Now, what do you think about all this? I mean, this is just stuff that I was heard at church this morning. I've been thinking about it all day, but I want to know what you think about this. Being in the world, not of the world. 505-338-5790. What does it mean to be in the world and not of the world? Does it mean to be the moral conscience of society, or does it mean something more? How can we do that, and how can we make sure that our identity as Christians is not compromised at all when we are trying to strive to be in the world and not of the world? So if you have a question or comment about that, give us a call, 505-338-5790. Now, I want to ask my producer, Mr. Steve Madrid, about this, because as many of you may or may not know, Mr. Madrid actually spends a lot of time in the hip-hop world. And hey, Steve, why don't you answer that call first, and then I'll get back to you. And because, you know, the hip-hop world is certainly an area where you see a lot of worldly influences, and trying to make that into a Christian ministry could be tricky. And even like we examined last week with tattooing, how can you turn that into a ministry? Is it possible to turn anything into a ministry to be in the world and not of the world as a Christian? What do you think? 505-338-5790. So, Mr. Madrid, he's getting his headphones on so he can chat with us.
All right.
All right, dude. What do you think about this whole in the world, not of the world, especially from the hip-hop realm? Because I know there's a lot of worldly stuff that goes on in there. How do you maintain being in the world and not of the world in your hip-hop world?
Well, I think that the number one thing is to have like an accountability partner, or somebody that you can go to, you know, maybe places where there might be temptation and stuff like that. You know, when you go to a place where, you know, you might be tempted by something, I think the number one thing is to have an accountability partner. And I think that, you know, by being in the world but not of the world, I think that we can definitely be a light in dark places. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, and we're called to be a light, and we're called to be salt. And the thing that struck me about that, you know, so far as being a light in a dark world, you know what light has to do? It has to push back the darkness, and it doesn't do that by being completely separate from the darkness. You know, at the edge of whatever the halo of light is, there's darkness there, and they're constantly conflicting back and forth. And then with salt has to come in contact with the food in order to have any effect on that. And so, you know, you look at those analogies, I always thought that was kind of interesting, because we talk a lot about being salt and light, but maybe sometimes we don't realize that means that we actually have to come in contact with the world.
And I think, you know, sometimes it can really, really be risky. I would caution anyone out there, you know, sometimes we'd go out there and say, you know, I'm going to go out and change the world, man. You know what I mean? It's kind of in certain situations, it's one against a lot of people, you know, and I would just caution anybody that being in the world, you know, sometimes there's a lot of spiritual warfare out there, you know. But what I wanna ask callers and wonder is how far can you go saying, you know, I'm being a light in a dark place, as opposed to you know, being in a situation where it's not good, you know?
Well, that's really the question we're trying to examine tonight, is where do you draw the line? And once you've drawn the line, how do you know if you cross the line? Because it can be a pretty fine line. So that's a good question. If you got an answer for that, 505-338-5790. Who do we have on the line, Madrid?
We got Fred on the line.
All right, let's see what Fred has to say. Fred, welcome to Rod Talk, and what do you have to say about this?
I just want to praise God, you know, and give him all glory and honor. But, you know, I can relate to that. We can't be of the world, but we got to live in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can relate because I've dealt with a lot of preachers and churches that shun people and kick them out of the church because of they're not following the way they want them to be. And you know, biblically, God tells us to walk in his ways and to do what he asks us to do, you know. But, you know, when you become so critical that you become like a Pharisees and a Sadducees, you know, that's what it's like nowadays. And it's sad because, you know, it's just like old times. You're seeing it all happening over again. You know, they ridicule, they put you down, and they tell you that you can't be in their church. And it's like, where's God in here?
Mm.
Where's God?
So, you know, go ahead, Fred.
Jesus, when he was out there, like you were saying earlier, he was with the drunkards, he was with the harlots, he was with the ones that were sick. And he was mending to their needs, and he was reaching out to them with love, not with harshness and not with rebuke. You know, he wasn't saying, no, you're never going to change. You just stay out of my face. You know, he loved them, and he showed them love, and they came to the love of Christ, and then they changed their lives around.
Now, how can we imitate that, do you think, Fred? Because, you know, that really seems to be the question, the problem, the query of Christians today is like, we all want to imitate Jesus, and yet you look at what Jesus did, it seems like it's a pretty slippery slope to get on sometimes, and we all say, well, Jesus could do it because he was fully God. For us, it's different. Do you think it's any different?
No, we're supposed to follow the example of Christ. He came as a human. He came in the flesh. He had every temptation that we have. Until he went in and he was glorified, then he became back into the glory of God and he was glorified. But as he was on earth, he got to deal with all the temptations, all the sorrow, all the pain that we went through, that we go through each and every day. And he did that to prove to us that we could make it, that we could do it, you know? And I praise Jesus for that. Praise God that he allowed his son to go through that for us, you know? It's just awesome, you know?
Yeah, it really is awesome. Hey, Fred, thanks so much for your comments tonight, man. We really appreciate your insights.
All right.
All right, have a good night. And if you'd like to toss something into the mix as well, like Fred did, give us a call, 505-338-5790. Where do we draw the line? Being in the world and not of the world. How do we draw the line? How do we make sure that we're not compromising? What do you think? 505-338-5790. You know, there was a big ado made not too long ago about a church, I believe it was in St. Louis, if I remember things correctly, that had a ministry that had people from the church going from the church to local bars to minister to people, to share with them the gospel. And it wasn't the typical go out there, thump the Bible, pass out a tract, you're going to hell unless you change type stuff. Apparently, the people who went out from the church would have a few drinks with the people at the bar, talk with them, get to know them. And this caused, quite the hubbub about this. You know, specifically, how could Christians go to a bar and have drinks with non-Christians? That's just going too far. And it caused quite a stir. And I thought it was a fascinating study in being in the world and not of the world. Where is the line? Is it okay for a Christian to go and maybe have a beer while he's ministering to someone, learning who that person is, what their needs are, and how those needs can be met, and attempt to lead them to Christ. Is that going too far? Is that compromise? It was a tough question that it had a lot of people split right down the middle so far as their opinion goes. Well, what do you think? 505-338-5790. Is that going too far? Or do you think that was following in the footsteps of Jesus, of being in the world and not of the world? And that's what we want to know from you. You know, the thing that Fred brought up about how Jesus mixed with people, in Matthew chapter 9, verses 10 through 12, it says, while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners. And I thought that, you know, I mean, it's a common verse, but it's certainly a fascinating insight to where Jesus' heart was. Of course, he didn't need to call the righteous. They already knew. And so he spent his time with the people who needed salvation. And, you know, that's me and you. We all needed Jesus to come hang out with us, not before we got clean. You know, Jesus didn't call people, get clean first, and then I'll hang out with you. He just went. And it's fascinating when you look at Jesus' life and then you look at how the church handles some of the similar situations. And there seems to be a little bit of disconnect first. First, we want people to stop being sinners and then they can come to church. But is that being in the world and not of the world? Well, we'd certainly like to know what you think. 505-338-5790 as we discuss this particular topic, which is certainly rather challenging, and it's one that every Christian needs to examine closely, because if we are going to live up to our calling as Christians to reach out with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we want to be effective in doing that. But how do we do that? You know, the thing with doctors ministering to the sick, they can't avoid sick people. They can't avoid coming into contact with sick people. Sometimes they actually have to touch sick people. Sometimes they have to spend time talking with that person, getting to know them to figure out exactly what their illness is. And sometimes in the church, it seems like we'd rather avoid all that and yet still think that we can minister the gospel. What did you guys think? We have Melanie on the line. Melanie, welcome to Raw Talk. And what do you have to say?
Hi. Thanks. It's so interesting because I've actually done this. I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't on purpose, but it happens. I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
You're specifically referring to, like, maybe
going out to a bar, maybe.
Right.
Even going to a social gathering where there's alcohol.
Uh-huh.
Now, what you do when you get there, if you have a beer, like you said, I don't see the harm in that. If you go there with the intention of getting drunk, I guess is the terminology, then that's crossing the line. But with the conviction that it gives us, we stop at a certain point.
Now, how, let me ask you, Melanie, how did it affect the people that you were willing to mix with them in their setting as a Christian? Did it make them more interested in your beliefs as a Christian? Did they seem more at ease knowing that you weren't going to totally disdain and separate from people?
Absolutely. They, I think, trusted me more and felt, safe is a strong word, but they could be open, and I wasn't going to judge them. And I think Christians, they are a lot different than, say, when I grew up. I'm a recovering Southern Baptist. I mean, they threw Bibles at you, and, you know, you're going to hell, you're going to hell. That approach just may work for the minute few, but for the most, it doesn't work that way.
Hmm.
You have to get on people's level. You have to make them understand that you're just like they are.
Well, that is that's cool that you were willing to do that, Melanie, and I'm glad it worked out really well for you, and I hope it continues to work out really well for you. I hope you continue to touch people's lives as you minister to them on their level.
Me too.
Well, thanks so
Me
much
too.
For calling in, Melanie. We appreciate your calling in.
I appreciate your show. God bless you.
Well, thank you. Have a good night. All right, let's chat with Dora next. Dora the Explorer, welcome to Raw Talk, and what do you have to say?
Hi. Okay, I have a comment on, you're talking about the
church that went and ministered in the bars.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I kind of think that, well, I do think that drinking with them just ruined their witness.
Hmm. How so?
Like, well, if they were going in there to witness to them, then, like, I just don't understand why they were, like, drinking with them. They're kind of contradicting themselves.
Hmm.
If they're going in to preach to people in the bars, then, and they're drinking with them, then what is wrong with me in the bars?
Hmm.
Do you understand what I say?
Mm-hmm. You think that
Like, I just don't understand how that would help them, because the people in the bars are going to be like, well, they're drinking with us, so I'm really not doing anything wrong.
Right. Now, here's the question, though, is the, and we can't say, because obviously we're not at that church or in the same state as that church, but, you know, hypothetically speaking, if you're going in to a bar, is the mission there to tell people that being in a bar is wrong, or is the mission there to tell people, hey, you know what, maybe you need Jesus, and this whole issue of alcohol, that's a side issue until you figure out what you need on a heart level first?
Yeah, I guess that's true. I never really, like, thought about it, but I don't know. I just kind of thought that was a little odd, you know?
Yeah, and I hear you. You know, I mean, you know, each of us, we have to know our limits, exactly where we're weak and where we can stumble. Obviously, a recovering alcoholic should not join a ministry that goes to bars. Probably not a good idea, but that's, you know, wisdom and discernment. But on the same token, having a Christian who's there in the bar and who isn't acting like a teetotaler, but connecting with people on their level and saying, you know, don't worry about this alcohol issue. What is your heart need first? We can worry about that sin later, you know, if they're habitually getting drunk. We can worry about that sin later. What do you need first is salvation. And then we can work on those other issues. But, you know, like I said, this is all hypothetical because we're not talking with the actual people who did this.
Yeah. Well, and I just think it's one thing going into the bar and ministering,
mm-hmm.
but it's another thing to actually have drinks with them.
Hmm. Well, certainly you could have a Coke or something instead.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if, I don't know. I think it's just the same as, I don't know, like, if non-believers see you drinking, even if you're not getting drunk, the whole, I don't know. I guess the, I don't even know what I'm trying to say. I just think it ruins your witness.
Well, let me ask you this, Dora. What about dancing? What if a non-believer saw Christians dancing? Would that ruin their witness? Or what if non-Christians saw Christians going to a movie, maybe even a rated R movie? Would that ruin their witness? I mean, you know, the question that we're really trying to figure out is, where do we draw the line so far as relating to people and yet not compromising ourselves as Christians?
I honestly don't know. I think it just depends on each person. Like, I think mine would probably be different than someone else's. I guess I honestly can't answer that question. I really don't know.
Well, you know what? At least we brought up the question. That's what's important, is to start thinking about these issues. That's why we have Raw Talk. Thanks for calling in, Dora. I really appreciate your feedback tonight.
Okay. And can I say something else? This has nothing to do with the conversation.
Yeah, go ahead.
But y'all are my most favorite radio station ever. Like, y'all are the bomb. Like, y'all are my heroes.
Well, thank you so much. We certainly love hearing that. It makes what we do worthwhile. Thanks a lot, Dora.
Okay.
All right. And if you got a comment that you'd like to toss in about this whole issue of being in the world, not of the world, let us know. 505-338-5790. Sarah has done that. And Sarah, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Actually, I have a question.
Okay.
Currently, I'm kind of battling with the whole living in the world but not of the world thing as far as women's clothing. Because, well, obviously I want to dress nice, and I work at a place where I do have to dress up and, you know, put on the makeup and everything. But every time I go to the mall or something, there's always, I can never find anything that's, like, not revealing or that fits properly because, you know, skirts are too short or shirts are too low, and I almost don't know what to do sometimes, and it just, and then if I go to, like, the women's section, it doesn't fit anyway because it's too big.
That would be a problem.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I am not really much of a shopper, so I don't know if I could tell you better places to shop, but I can tell you this, don't give up on that. I think it was last year, if I, again, remembering my dates correctly, last year there was a 12-year-old who was in a similar situation. She was having trouble finding modest clothing. And she got so upset that eventually she took it directly to the management of a large chain of stores that are in malls all throughout the nation. And basically took them on head to head. And eventually, she won out, at least there in her state, and the store started carrying more modest clothing for 12-year-olds. And, you know, that's a pretty extreme example, but it does go to show that, you know, if people are willing to say and be, you know, vocal about stuff, sometimes it can change. You know, oftentimes we get so upset about how the opponents, quote unquote, of Christianity get more done than Christians themselves. Sometimes it's because they're a louder vocal minority. But my encouragement to you is don't give up on that pursuit for modest clothing, because as a guy, I appreciate a woman who is careful in that area and is concerned enough about her brothers in Christ that she wouldn't want to cause them to stumble. So I think that's a very noble sentiment, and I hope you'll continue in that. Does that help you out at all, Sarah?
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
So don't give up on the quest. I know you can do it. And on behalf of all males, thank you very much for being willing to do that.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for calling in, Sarah. We appreciate it.
No problem.
All right, so what do you guys think, being in the world and not of the world? Where do we draw the line? How do we know where that line is, and how can we make sure that we don't cross the line? That's what we're discussing tonight on Raw Talk, and we have Tim from Clovis, New Mexico, joining us. Tim from Clovis, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
So, well, I was just calling. You were talking about the ministry going into the bars and everything there in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one thing to remember is the first miracle that Jesus performed out in public was he created the wine.
That's true. We actually touched on that at the beginning of the program.
At the, at the wedding and everything. And, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, going out and getting drunk at the bar and everything is all right. But, you know, to take in moderation, you know, it's just like anything else. If you don't do it excessively, and don't let it overtake you. You control it and not control you. I think it's something that could be good for, be a good kind of ministry and stuff.
Now let me ask you this, Tim. How do we make sure that we're in control of it and it's not in control of us? How do we do that?
Like I said, you just have to take it in moderation, just like anything else. You know, if you get to where you have to have it, you don't need to be doing it. But if you can go out and enjoy, you know, a drink or two and it not affect you as far as your judgment and stuff, I think it's one thing to be all right.
Well, I certainly appreciate your input into tonight's conversation, Tim. Thanks so much for calling in. I hope you have a great night.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks a lot. And if you got a comment on this whole issue of being in the world and not of the world as Christians, where do we draw the line? How do we make sure we don't cross the line? How do we maintain our witness in a very dark world? If you got input, questions, comments, this is the opportunity to share them. 505-338-5790. Next up, we have Dylan on the line. Dylan, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
No, how are you guys doing tonight?
We're doing well. How are you doing?
Good, good. Well, just some experiences that I've encountered, you know, because I try to just be a light in a shining place, and I still have a lot of worldly friends, and I'm just trying to exhibit Christ, you know, through what they do. And one instance is, you know, I went to a party, and people were drinking, stuff to that nature. So I just try to, you know, minister to them, and I show them, you know, examples, you know, because most of them, I thought they'd be, you know, making fun of me and, you know, stuff of that nature. But to be honest with you, every man there came up to me saying that, you know, like, just excited. They said, you know what, I really respect what you're doing, and that just, it opens the door. I'm like, mm-hmm. Well, I get my strength through Christ, and, you know, stuff like that, so... it's hard to deal with too, because I don't know about the whole bar scene and stuff, because temptation is pretty strong, but I just know that I try, you know, just try to be a light, you know, in dark places, and it's really worked. I went to a party one night, and I got to pray with some people and just stuff like that, so.
Well, that's very cool. Now, are you in college at all?
No, yeah. I'm not.
Oh, okay.
A lot of my friends are, though.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering, I was trying to get a mental picture of the setting of what kind of party it might be, because I remember some parties.
Like country parties, you know, in the woods, stuff like that.
Okay. Well, you know what? I commend your boldness in being willing to do that. Now, let me ask you this, because this is really the key question that we're trying to figure out tonight. How then do you maintain, and how do you know where the line is, and how do you know if you're going to cross that line? How do you keep yourself from crossing the line from being in the world and not of the world?
It's hard, because, you know, sometimes I do. I want to just, you know, I don't really, it's not my heart to get flat out drunk, but I want to be able to try to be on their level, and sometimes I want to have a beer, but like that girl was saying earlier, I don't want to ruin my you know, witness, and because, you know, I don't, a lot of people are quick to judge, you know, anyone, you know, Christian or not. So it's just hard, like, okay, you're having a beer, what are you doing, you know? But I just try to stay strong, showing my, you know, my strong points, and showing them, because they used to know how I was when I was in the world. So, you know, just kind of compare to how I was to how I am now. And they just, I don't know, it's just, it's real fine line, but we got to reach people and we got to get to their level. I'm not saying, you know, open the door to sin, but, you know, we got to be a light in a dark place.
Absolutely. Dylan, thanks so much for calling in tonight, man. Appreciate you being part of Raw Talk.
You guys have a good night.
All right, you too.
Bye.
Yeah, you know, I just have to comment before we move on to our next caller, Stacy. I find it interesting that everyone keeps talking about being careful not to ruin our witness. And again, going back to the example of Jesus Christ, I think you might even say that his quote-unquote witness was ruined several times with the people that he associated with. At least the witness was ruined in the eyes of the religious establishment. They thought that he wasn't doing what he should be doing if he was going to be a really good religious person, associating with the type of people that he did. And so another question that pops into my mind, who should we be concerned about whether or not our witness is ruined? In the eyes of other Christians or in the eyes of the world? And this is something that popped into my head, so I just thought I'd share that. Before we move on to Stacy, Stacy, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Oh, I was just thinking, I have been to bars before, and we've actually witnessed to people while we were in there.
Wow.
It was kind of cool. We just started talking about God and how much he's done for us. And, I mean, we weren't drunk or anything. I mean, the girl that I had was talking to, she had been drinking a little bit, but you could tell that she wasn't drunk.
Mm-hmm.
But it was kind of cool that we could praise God in the middle of just anywhere, no matter where you are.
Hmm.
But I also wanted to say that whatever you do, whether it's going into an R-rated movie, whether it's going into church, whether it's going into a bar, if something causes you to sin, then you shouldn't do it.
Amen to that.
You know, it's hard. You just have to be prayed up all the time. You've got to, your walk with God has to be close. You know, and I'm here, I'm preaching to the choir, I know, but you just have to have that relationship with God to know where your boundaries are and what his will is for you, what he wants you to do. You know, and if he tells you, you know, I want you to talk to this person, whether they're in the bar or on the street, you know, I don't know.
Nope, that's good advice, Stacy, especially the part about making sure you're prayered up, because that's the source of our power, and this is where we need to be daily, especially if we want to maintain ourselves with this whole issue of in the world, not of the world. Thank you so much for calling in, Stacy. Appreciate
your
comments tonight. Have a good evening.
Thanks, you too.
All right. Next up, we have Chris. Chris, welcome to Raw Talk, and what do you have to say about this issue of being in the world and not of the world? Where do we draw the line? How do we know where the line is drawn?
Well, I think you make made a few interesting and really good points early on that I don't think got enough attention. So one of your first callers talked about accountability and having an accountability partner. I do a lot of witnessing outside of the church, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the only place you can witness. But as far as I have several older men in my church that I'm accountable to. You know, I mean, we will meet at the very least once a month and just talk and kind of reiterate what I've done for the month, and they hold me accountable and ask questions of how I'm doing. And the key to that is being honest with them. That way they can give insight back and how you're doing.
Yeah, and that's good advice, and certainly we do need accountability people. You know, you made a comment there that I thought was kind of interesting about, you know, witnessing outside of the church, and that's really the only place that we can do it. And it occurred to me, actually, you know, there's a lot of people who are sitting in the church pews who think that they're all right because they're of the very fact they're coming to church.
Right.
And sometimes maybe it wouldn't hurt to look around and see if we can't find the people who are in the church thinking they're doing good enough,
well,
who might need to be witnessed to as well.
Yeah, the church I attend, I'm in Oregon right now. I'm listening to you on the web.
Oh, cool.
On the internet. But, I mean, the church I go to, we witness to a lot of to the homeless.
Oh, nice.
And so a lot of that means we go out and we go and serve dinner to the homeless, and we go out and one of the messages we preach is come as you are. You know what I mean? Because that's where they're going to meet Jesus. They're not going to, people aren't going to go and, okay, well, we're going to quit our drinking, we're going to quit our gambling, whatever their issues are, and then we're going to go get Jesus. No, they're going to find Jesus where they're at right now, and then through following Christ, the other stuff comes.
Absolutely. You know, everyone always talks about the woman at the well as an example of witnessing, and it always strikes me that, you know, Jesus didn't say, hey, you know what, stop living with that guy that you're living with and then talk, and I'll tell you how to have living water. He offered her living water first,
yes,
despite the fact that he knew everything about her.
Well, and on top of that, it's interesting because that's what we're talking about in church today, is the woman at the well. The thing to realize is that, one, she was the two cultures were anti each other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they didn't even associate with each other. So the very fact that he spoke to her was significant. The fact that he asked her to draw water, I mean, that was, with the way women were viewed in that time, that was huge. That was way outside the boundaries of the religious culture of the time.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's cool that, you know, Jesus never put on airs about anyone. No matter who it was, no matter where they were from, no matter what they were currently into, Jesus was there to meet a need, and through meeting their needs, he led them to the truth and to living water. And, you know, like I said just a little bit ago, I find it interesting that so far as being concerned about his witness being ruined, more often it was ruined in the eyes of the religious, and you don't often hear people questioning his witness from the people who actually needed his witness.
Right, well, look at Jesus in the temple. Yeah, I mean, he destroyed the temple. Yeah, I mean, he beat up people. Yeah, I mean,
right.
But it was righteous for him.
Well, Chris, in Oregon, thanks so much for calling in, man. Appreciate you listening on the web at m88.org, and for calling in tonight, man. That's really cool.
Have a great night.
You too. All right.
Lord bless.
Up next, we have Cynthia. Cynthia, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say about this issue of being in the world and not of the world? Where do we draw the line? How do we know where the line is drawn? How do we make sure we don't cross it?
Yes, I just wanted to share an experience of mine. Probably about, I don't know, it's probably been about 5 years. I was going to school here in Albuquerque, and I had the opportunity to minister to this young man that was struggling. He really wanted to serve the Lord, but he had a lot of hypocrisy in his family. His dad, his mother claimed to be Christians, but just, so he really kind of just turned away from Christianity. Anyhow, I was ministering to him, had many opportunities to share Christ with him, and he was actually struggling with going to nightclubs and partying and drinking and the girl scene and, you know, all of that. And he was really listening to me. He was opening up. And one night, a friend of mine graduated from UNM here. She had a party at a downtown bar. We went to dinner. I went, showed up at the bar, ran into this young man, and he bumped into me, and he was just so disappointed in me. And I was not able to continue to minister to him, and I wasn't able to lead him to Christ, ultimately. So I think it's a fine line. And also a question I had is, what if somebody is struggling with alcoholism, and we cause somebody to stumble when we're out there in the bars having a beer or two?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it's a really fine line. I'm really glad you all are talking about this tonight. It's great.
It is a really fine line, which is why, for whatever reason, I'm sure it was prompting the Holy Spirit, like, you know, we should really talk about this. And
right,
in recent events in my life, it was certainly, oh, wow, this is really appropriate. No wonder why God wanted me to talk about it.
It
is a fine line, and it's one, I've often heard this illustration used by a friend of mine, Scott Richards. He's a pastor out in Tucson, Arizona.
Right.
When it comes to predestination and free will, and he often talks about, you know, if the tension in that particular spring was ever to be released, then you're in serious trouble. And I think with this whole issue being in the world and not of the world is the same thing. It's always going to be an issue that's going to have tension. But you know what? That's what makes it so worthwhile. That's what gives the spring its spring, is the tension. So if the tension were to ever go out of this issue, I think then we might be in real trouble as Christians.
Absolutely.
So far as fulfilling our commission to, you know, share the good news.
Right.
So, you know, the only reason I bring that up is to say, maybe the tension in this issue is a good thing, and we shouldn't be so worried about solving the issue.
Right, you're right. I was, you know, I was a little disappointed in myself, and maybe that was just, I was feeling a little guilty after that for a while, actually. I just felt like, it looked, one of the callers earlier was saying how they ruined their witness, and I guess I was going through some self-condemnation, and that was not from the Lord.
Right.
So... anyhow.
Well, Cynthia, thank you so much for calling in and sharing with us tonight on Raw Talk. Certainly appreciate your opinion.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Have a great
night.
Evening.
Bye-bye.
Well, if you'd like to add to tonight's conversation as we talk about being in the world and not of the world, keeping the tension in the spring of that particular issue, as it were. You know, one thing that I find very interesting about God as I look through the Bible, as I study the life of Jesus Christ, as humans, we're very polarizing creatures. Often it has to be either or, one or the other. And as a pendulum, we are constantly swinging back and forth from one extreme to the other. But the interesting thing about God and about the life of Jesus Christ is often it's not so much either or, it's and both, which is almost too much for us to comprehend at times. But you know, sometimes we just have to go with that. And both is the solution as opposed to either or. As with being in the world and not of the world, it's not either or. It's and both. You need to be in the world and not of the world. Both in the world and not of the world. And while that can be a very difficult balance to maintain, that's certainly something that's extremely necessary for us as Christians if we are going to reach the world with the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 19 through 23, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews I became like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all men so that by all means possible I might save some. I do this for the sake of the gospel that I may share in its blessing. And those are the words of Paul from 1 Corinthians, which I think gets brought up a lot when we talk about this issue of being in the world and not of the world. Being all things to all people so that we might save some. But the question is, when do we take that too far? 505-338-5790, if you got a comment you'd like to make on that. We have Tara on the line. Tara, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Hello.
Hello.
Let me see. I was just thinking everybody talks about being on their level. That mm-hmm. doesn't mean, forgive the expression, sinking to their level.
Mm.
It just means being real with them. We're human. We're sinners. I don't think that we necessarily have to go out and party like they do or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that was a good distinction to make.
No, also, I like the way you phrase that, you know, we want to be on their level, but we don't want to sink to their level.
Yeah.
I like that word usage.
I'm glad. Also, I don't think we need to be looking for darkness, you know, be in a light in the dark world. Things just happen. My parents, for instance, are not Christian, aren't saved, and they... my stepmother actually graduated, and they had a party with drinking, so on and so forth. Now, I didn't drink, and God just put this on my heart to not drink. I used to before, didn't get drunk, you know. But just for my witness, for people, now I don't believe it's wrong to drink, because God said don't be drunk with wine. He didn't say don't drink it. You know what I mean?
Right.
But to be filled with the Spirit, you know. And... God was just speaking to my heart. But also I have a younger sister, and she really, really looks up to me. So I want to think of who I'm witnessing to. I'm not going to go into rated R movies, though some of them may not be so bad. But I don't want my sister saying, oh, well, my sister went, it's okay. Or my sister drinks, it's okay.
Right.
You know, being that she's still a little girl. And just the people we're witnessing to, maybe not even verbally, but people are watching us.
That's true. Now, you know, this brings to mind, we often hear Christians talking about we have to be above reproach. But sometimes a problem with that is we're so concerned with being above reproach that we're so far above that people can't approach us at all. And you know, I love the idea of, yes, we need to be above reproach, but not to the point that we're out of reach. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And again, one of those issues that has tension in it, trying to find the right balance, makes Christianity fun. Tara, thanks so much for calling in. I appreciate your comments. You have a great evening, all right?
You too. God bless you.
All right. Take care. Next up, we have Monica on the line. Monica, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say about this issue of being in the world and not of the world?
I was just going to say that, like, yeah, we're not supposed to, like, adopt ourselves to be, like, most worldly people, because most of the time they can be, like, a little dark. And if we're going to be going, like, into the world to tell people the message of Christ, we have to remember who we belong to and always uphold that image of us being missionaries of God.
Mm-hmm. And go ahead.
Yeah. It's because most of the time, a lot of people, when they go into the world, they forget who they belong to and they lose sight of what they're doing. So that kind of, you know, that's a way of ruining the testimony or whatever, because they need to stick with, they have to remember that they are God's children and that they are out there to spread the message of God.
You know, I like how you brought up the idea that, you know, we're supposed to be missionaries going into the world. I think especially here in our Western civilization, we seem to be sometimes stuck on the idea that, oh, you know what, if we make our church interesting enough, they'll just come to us. Well, we won't have to do any fishing. The fish will jump into the boat because they'll see the fancy-looking boat and like, that looks like the place to be. I want to be there. But again, you know, keeping all things in balance, we can never forget that sometimes, even though it's scary, even though it's dark, even though it might be a little bit dirty, we need to, and we're called to go out into the world, not just make a place that's so appealing that the world will come to us. I'm glad you brought that up. It kind of reminded me of something important for my own life. So thank you very much, Monica.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Have a good evening. Well, we got a few more minutes left, so if you got a comment that you'd like to toss into the mix about being in the world and not of the world, give us a call, 505-338-5790. You know, so far as, you know, where do we draw the line? How do we know where the line is drawn? In James chapter 4, starting verse 4, then jumping down to 7 through 8, it says, "You adulterous people, don't you know friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you." And that word, so far as friend goes, is he who associates familiarly with one. And I thought, well, that's very interesting so far as knowing what does it mean to be a friend of the world. And again, in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." Again, how does that fit into drawing the line of being in the world and not of the world? Let's chat with Pierce here for a moment. Pierce, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Hi. I just wanted to say a thought I had was that where Paul talks about how certain people can eat meat and certain people can only eat vegetables because that's all they're capable of because of their where they are in their walk with Christ. And I just want to say that if people have a problem with going into a darker place, and if that's something that just stretches them too much, I think it's that unsurety that allows Satan to kind of come in and take advantage of where they're at and tempt them. But if they're confident in Christ that they're at that place to witness, then I think it's harder for the enemy to destroy that witness.
Absolutely. That's an excellent point, Pierce. And, you know, something that you touched on there that I'll address here at the end of the program is that whole idea of judging. Who's qualified to judge whether we're too much in the world or not enough of the world? And as Christians, that's something we should certainly consider very carefully when it comes to deciding whether someone else's ministry is too much in the world and not enough not of the world. So thanks for bringing that up, Pierce. Appreciate you calling in tonight.
Uh-huh. No problem.
All right. We have Jim on the line from Alamogordo. Jim, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Hey, how you guys all doing tonight?
Doing well, man. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to share with all those young hearts out there that I do encourage them in school, SDA, regardless of where they're at and how they do it, to go into the world and share the word. Mm-hmm. I just ask that they take the time, as in Psalms 119:11, to make sure that the scripture is in their heart, and that so that they themselves, when they're out there, do not sin against them, so they can draw strength from the word while they're out there. And the importance of having accountability partners and a place to where they can draw back from the world and gain strength from each other before they go, to refuel, so to speak. I just wanted to really encourage them in that area.
Now, Jim, if you don't mind me asking, is it fair to assess that you are a slightly older gentleman?
Well, slightly. I'm a youth leader down here at First Baptist Church in Alamogordo, and it's AM88, one of my two favorite stations, and I just wanted to take this opportunity to share with the youth, and it's an awesome thing. God is an almighty God, and miracles will happen with him, but he's going to use, we're just tools in his toolbox, and
yeah.
I just pray that that they see it that way and rely on each other when they're out there.
Well, Jim, and so far as, it's good to have accountability partners, but I'm glad you bring this up. It's also good to learn from the older, more mature Christians. Sometimes in the church, we're so concerned with, keeping the generations separate. We have ministries for the older and then the youth, and never the twain shall meet. But there's a lot of benefits with having the younger Christians, having mentors and older Christians, and helping them go down the paths that the older Christians have already traveled to share their wisdom. And I'm a big proponent of, let's not just have youth group. Let's have church where the youth and the seniors can all mix together, and there's a lot of huge benefits that can come from that.
Yes.
Well,
amen.
Jim, thanks so much for calling in. I hope you have a shway evening in the Lord, and appreciate your comments tonight.
Thank you so much, and God bless you.
You bet. God bless you, too. Next up, we have Alan. Alan, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say? Hello, Alan.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing? What's on your mind?
What's that?
What's on your mind?
I was just I was listening to this. I barely caught it for the last 15 minutes. And I just, I haven't personally seen, we were talking about Jesus going in, how Jesus approached the situation. He totally, he was around sinners constantly. We don't really see that they were actually they were sinners, but they weren't currently committing the act of sin in the vicinity. It wasn't necessarily actually happening there. I mean, these people were sinning, but it's not like he talked to prostitutes. He never went into a whorehouse, though.
Well,
I
find it interesting, when you look at that story in John chapter 2, so far as the quote unquote act of sinning, it seems pretty apparent that there's a lot of people who had a little too much to drink at that particular party, and yet Jesus was there amongst them. And not only did he not, make people feel guilty about that, but he added more wine to the mix.
Well, he added more wine to the mix, but we can, we can't necessarily say we can't define wine. I mean, I personally believe that's a little bit of a controversial subject.
That's what makes it fun.
Whether it was the amount of alcohol, the amount of consumption of alcohol.
Well, that's very good points, Alan, and I appreciate you bringing that up. And you're absolutely right. We're not asking anyone to go along and commit sin in order to witness to anyone, because that's probably not going to help out at all, is it?
Not one bit.
Not one bit. Thanks for calling in, Alan. You have a great evening, all right?
All right.
All right. And wrapping things up tonight, we have Gabrielle. Gabrielle, welcome to Raw Talk. And what do you have to say?
I wanted to say, about what you said earlier about where to draw the line.
Mm-hmm.
I think you should just, pray and talk to God about it, and he'll show you, where to draw the line and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And be with you, I think.
I think you're absolutely right, and I'm glad you bring that up, Gabrielle, because a lot of times we're looking for the approval and guidance of people, and while their wisdom and insight can certainly be useful, the bottom line is What does God think? And that should be our first and primary concern. Not that we shouldn't discount the insights of others, but that certainly shouldn't be the only thing we consider when it comes to this issue of being in the world and not of the world. So thanks for bringing that up, Gabrielle. Certainly appreciate you joining us on the show tonight.
All right, thank you.
All right, have a good evening. Well, it's been a lively conversation, and just to wrap things up, you know, so far as this issue of being in the world and not of the world, is it tough? Yes. Is it difficult to know where to draw that line? Definitely. Do we need to be cautious? Absolutely. We should be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. But here's the bottom line. To try and figure out who's too much in the world or who's too much not of the world is probably pointless and definitely a waste of energy and generally leads to judging attitudes and divisiveness. You know, you want to reach the world for Christ. So to do that, be there, be ready, and when a need comes up, meet it in love. When we do that, not only will we see the good news of the gospel spread, we'll finally live like we're in the world and not of the world without even really thinking about it a whole lot. You know, Romans chapter 14, verse 4 says, "Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand." So on the one hand, let me caution you, don't judge too harshly of people who are doing their best to minister the good news of Jesus Christ. Maybe they're doing some things that you think are a compromise so far as being in the world or not of the world. But really, who are you to judge? God can probably judge that better. And not to say that we shouldn't, you know, warn people, discuss it. But let's not go around judging everyone all the time. And at the same time, let's do keep each other accountable to make sure that it is the gospel that's being glorified. That whether we eat, drink, or whatever we do, that we do it all for the glory of God. And that should be always our primary purpose as we seek to share the good news of Jesus Christ with everyone. So, yeah. You know, I don't think we solved anything tonight. Don't think we, you know, came up with the perfect solution for this. It's not really the point. The point is to think about it. The point is to meditate on it. And the point is to seek God's will in it through scripture, through prayer, and of course through the counsel of others. So thanks for joining us here on Raw Talk tonight. Hope the conversation was useful to you. I know it was for me, and certainly gave me a lot to think about. That's what Raw Talk is for, thinking. Next week, we're going to think a little bit about grace under fire, faith in a time of war. Again, very appropriate for everything that's been going on in the Middle East, and we're going to take a look back through the centuries, letters that were written during times of war and what they reveal about faith and how they can apply to our lives. And we're going to examine that next week on Raw Talk. Until then, have a shway week in the Lord.